Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's great to be with you in person, and thank you for joining us online as well. This morning I was thinking about how Jesus said to the disciples, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with you." And I was just really encouraged by that, thinking like this morning, Jesus is present with us in this place. And at SCC, we believe that he has a plan for you and a purpose for you. There's a reason you're here this morning, and he wants to speak to your heart and encourage you. So as we worship, it's my prayer that the words of these songs would just meet you where you're at and that you would be encouraged. Let's worship together.
Never stop working, even when I We'll clap more in a second. That was awesome. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a God that brought everything into being by your word. All you had to do is speak it, and it came about. And as we move to John, we understand that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And as a God who has lived as we have lived, you understand both our adoration and praise to you. You also know that we have a yearning to connect with you. We're thankful that you have revealed yourself, that you've revealed yourself in your word, that your word is still being spoken. We're still experiencing you as we go day to day, present and future in our life and in our faith. The greater picture we get of you, your character and your nature, the more that we can see that you do esteem us, but we're not perfect. That we fall short of the mark, we miss the mark that you have set for us. And so we confess that to you. And in our confession, enable us to gather in fully your forgiveness. Such an experience is rare in our world. Rare in the world of our own life. And we thank you that when you forgive us, you forget. You throw our miscues and our mistakes, our failures, faults, and sins, you throw them as far as the east is to the west. You clean the slate of our soul. And as you do it, it readies us for worship. And as we worship, we offer to you that those things that are upon our mind, heart, and soul. Particularly those things that are bumping up against our minds and our hearts and our soul as we worship you. We're perplexed. We're passionate. We're filled with hope. Some are filled with discouragement and depression. You're a God that came to celebrate with those who celebrate and mourn with those who mourn. And so as we lift you up in worship today, Lord, please lift us up. Allow us to feel your presence, your peace, your encouragement, your leading. We praise you and we desire to worship you today, both in truth and in spirit. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's thank the worship team. Yeah! Yeah! Awesome. Very good. I've got a list here. If you're watching with us online today, it's great to have you with us. We do know that you're online with us, and if you are unaware, there's also a live chat going on. It's hosted by one of the staff members, so you can talk to one another, interact with one another, ask questions, things like that while I'm preaching. As long as you're listening, no, it's fine. Talk away. All right, here's my list. Number one, if you have not voted yet, vote. Get that ballot out when you get home. Your vote makes a difference. Your vote makes a difference. It only doesn't make a difference if you leave it, wherever you have it hidden, by the phone, on your desk, on the dining room table. Pick it up this afternoon and fill it out before the Seahawks game. I want you to know I'm representing today. I got my Seahawks socks on. There they are. Every time I wear these, we win, and Russell Wilson does something fabulous at the end of the game. So we'll see if I can keep it going by wearing the socks. I did wash them, though. I'm not one of those kind of people that I'm going to wear them every time until they lose. Let's see, what else do we have? Fall Festival is coming. It's this next Tuesday from 3 to 5:30. That's for kindergartners through the fifth grade costume games. The Family Viral Contest for Costumes and Pumpkin Carving. That's happening. Just get in your costume and take a picture of it and send it to the church. Same thing with your pumpkins when you're done with your pumpkins, if you're not too embarrassed by it. You might be surprised. Just send a picture. You might be surprised what you win. And we do have prizes, good prizes. Please fill your Christmas shoe boxes up. And if you don't have time to get a shoe box and fill it, you can donate money, and we'll do that for you. I will be offering step one. We have 5 steps in our church that we ask people to take. Those are steps that give you more tools in your toolbox as a Christian. Step one is discovering Christian community. That's the opportunity to find out also a little bit more about the church and our unique vision and strategy. The great thing is it gives me an opportunity to meet you. There are people that come regularly, and I only know what they look like from here up. So we will keep masks, and we will social distance, but I'm going to have you go like this a couple of times while we're meeting so I can get to know you along the way. That's a big thing for me. We will meet in the lobby, which is the lobby of the center building. It's over there. And it will start at 12:15, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. Yes, we'll be providing individual lunches for everyone. So let us know that you're coming, and I think they'll give you a choice of what we will box up for you and bring to your table so that no one has to stand in line, etc. Today we're looking at some great scripture. Here it is.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And Luke 14, verses 16 to 20. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." And another said, "I just got married, so I can't come."
Deep faith. Deep faith is about coming and going, Jesus says. We come to Jesus and then we're sent out by Jesus. My friend Rick Warren puts it this way: in terms of how things happen at Saddleback Community Church. He says, we bring them in, build them up, send them out. Bring them in, build them up, send them out. That building up part is really steps, is one of those key things in building up your faith, in deepening your faith. So first we come to Jesus. Listen to this great passage out of Matthew 11. Jesus said, if you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. A yoke, we understand what a yoke is. Two oxen go to plow a field. There's a big hump and a little hump on the yoke. And the older, more mature oxen is the one that takes the big load. And the up-and-coming, learning how to plow a field oxen, usually smaller, is on the short side of the yoke. Jesus says, I'm the one that carries the big burden. I want you to not have to carry that. I want you to have rest. I want you to be at peace. And I want us to notice that Jesus doesn't say, you'll never have a burden again. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that there's no work to be done or that all the work to be done is all going to be easy. He doesn't say that easy. It's easy to bear and my burden is light. But there is something to bear. There is work to do. There is going in terms of our faith. But first we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus broken. We come to Jesus worried and stressed. We come to Jesus sometimes in our failure. We come when we're depressed, when we're angry, when we're not sure which direction to go. And what is great about coming to Jesus is he accepts us the way that we are. And he doesn't say, well, you know, go away from me, go get your act together, and then come to me. Because I'm going to give you the heavy part of the yoke. Why? Because, well, I'm God, I should get the easy part of the yoke, shouldn't I? No, see, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, belonging to me is not about a list of things that you believe and you do or you don't do. In fact, it's not about a list at all. The point of this illustration is it's about having a relationship with Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we often think, oh, I better get all straightened up before I go and ask Jesus to be the leader of my life. And it's good if you're getting better. But understand in this illustration, Jesus isn't saying you have to get your act together before you come to me. Just the opposite. When you come to me, when you partner with me, when you're in relationship with me, that's where you learn who you really are. That's where you're trained for life and faith. And yeah, there's plowing to do. Yeah, yes, there is. And Jesus doesn't say, go do it all on your own. Just the opposite. I will always be with you, even to the end of the age, Jesus says. As I've mentioned to you before, I think we discover in our identity in Jesus Christ who we truly are. We find out who we are because for the first time in our life, we understand eternity personally. It's not just an intellectual idea. It's something that we feel deep down inside us. We feel that in our heart, in our soul. And something in that moment rings very, very true. A truth about the future for sure, but a great declaration about the moment. In that moment, we move from death to life. From our old nature to our new nature. And the great thing about Jesus is he doesn't make us pay for that. He pays for that. He gave his life so that we could have life. He knows that our failures and our sins burden us down, and he offers to us a partnership where we get the easy part. That's a confession part. You know, it's easy to say, hey, oh, I'm really sorry. People say that all the time. It's different to confess to someone and ask their forgiveness. This is what I've done. Would you please forgive me? And Jesus does the hard part. He does the forgiving. He's the one that carries the burden. He's the one that frees us up so that we can what? Be sent out. Yes, deep faith is about coming to Jesus, but it's also being sent out by Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, where are you going? Where are you going? There's a bigger question to ask, where are we going? When we come to Jesus, we get to ask the question, where are we going? We're able to ask that question to Jesus. Where do you want me to go? And off of that question, those questions, four things become very important. In our going, first of all, we go to God and we go there for help and direction. Get in the line for help and direction. Actually, not literally, because you're not allowed to do that. Everybody needs to get in line to get in a yoked relationship with Jesus. And as we do, we experience the help and the healing that we need. We find the direction that only Jesus can give us. And we know a lot and we know how to read a map. Our orienteering skills are very good. But yet they're only human skills, a human map. And when we ask Jesus to be the leader of our life, now we have a divine map. And in the midst of that, God has crafted a pathway just for us. And no one can give us that direction but Jesus. Why? Because it's ultimately an eternal path that we walk, not a human temporal path that we walk. 1 Chronicles 16:11, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. Psalm 34:10, those who go to the Lord for help will have every good thing. Psalm 37:40. God helps them, rescues them, and saves them from the wicked because they go to him for protection. Now let's jump back to Luke 14. We go to God for help and direction. And going to God is a great invitation that God makes to us, to everyone. Let's follow the story, Luke 14. We're going to go from 16 to 24, so settle in. Here's the illustration, the parable. A very powerful and generous man prepared a great banquet. He invited the many prominent guests. When it was ready, he sent out his servants. I take a little license here. Go and tell those invited to come, for everything is ready. But they began making excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Oh, I've just gone to Nordstrom's and I've just acquired 5 pair of oxen. And I'm on my way home to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another, Keith Sandell, said, no, I just got married, so I can't come. She won't let me. When the servant reported this, the owner of the estate became angry and told his servants, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame as my guests. The servant said, Master, you've already done this, but there is still room for more in your banquet. The master said, then now go out of the city to the roads and to the country lanes. Go everywhere and invite everyone to come so that my house will be full. I promise you this. Not one of those people who ignore my invitation will ever get to taste what I have prepared for them. See, when we come to Jesus, we come by invitation. God calls us and we respond. He makes the first move towards us. And oftentimes we feel like we're searching around to find God and we discover that God has been looking for us for a long time. And he's discovered because he's been looking for us. He's been knocking at our door. He's the one that has revealed himself to the world and to us. It is a great banquet that we go to. It's very fulfilling both in a human sense and in a spiritual sense. First, we have to go to the Lord. He's invited us so that we can come. And we come to him for help and direction. Number two, in our going, we go together. We go together. We need that support. I want you to hear that you are working to... Wait, I can do this. 1 second. I get very excited. And I can't read as fast as I can think. I want to hear that you are working together and that you are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. Don't be intimidated by those who oppose you. You have been given not only the privilege of trusting Christ, but also the privilege of suffering with him. We are in this fight together. I added, so keep on loving one another. Keep on working together with one heart and one purpose. Deep faith is about coming to Jesus, but it's also about going. It's about going in the direction that Jesus wants us to go. He wants us to go in a fully equipped, healed, transforming direction. And when we go, we don't go alone. We go with one another. We go together because we need support. Why do we need support? Because life is very tough at times, isn't it? tough relationships, tough circumstances and settings in life. Most feel that we're in a very tough and unusual circumstance. And it is wearing on all of us. And as it wears on us, I don't know about you, but man, I just need somebody to kind of lean on. Somebody else to walk with that at least lets me know I'm not alone. And I know Jesus is with me all the time. I know that. But a person with some skin on is really helpful too. Why? Life's tough. We need support. Number two, what we read here from Paul is that we're also in a fight. Life out there is very challenging. And we're in a fight. Sometimes we can see, so to speak, the enemy. And other times we're in a fight and we can't see the enemy, but the enemy is very real. The devil has his day. And as we go together, two are better than one, aren't they? We're in a fight. We're facing challenges in life, and we do that better together than we do alone. The last and most, well, not most important, but a key thing is that when we gather together, when we go together, we do more together than we do alone. I remember when I was a kid and it was my responsibility to clean out the closet. I really didn't like cleaning out the closet. I would procrastinate on cleaning up the closet for a long time. When would I finally clean out a closet? Well, one of my friends would come over and, you know, oh, I can't go till my closet gets cleaned up, right? Well, we want to go and play, so, all right, we'll help you clean up your closet. If you need an organizer, we have a few, by the way, in this church to help you with your closet. But see, with someone else, it wasn't really all that bad. We could talk, and it seemed like more got done faster than just the two of us working on it. We have a better return for our relationship with others. We can do more. We can impact more. We can make a difference more individually in the lives of people. And so we do go to God and we do go together. And as we go together, one of the things that begins to happen is we begin to mature in our faith. The roots of our faith go down deep, to pick up another illustration. And in our maturity, we're able to do a better job and we're able to do more and more. In our maturity. And it's true, some people don't want to grow up. But Christ calls us to be mature in Him. Hebrews 6:1, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity. That's right, get in a Bible study, get in a small group. Attend Rick's Adult Sunday Seminar. Move from the simple things of the faith, which are good. But why not build upon that more and more, making you more and more capable as you go? Christ not only sends us, but He wants to send us equipped, mature. The more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to the Lord Jesus. Fruitful. Being of greater use to Jesus Christ. And in part, it is about knowing more, but more than that, it's about maturing as we're being sent out. And the more mature we are, when we've tasted of the real meat of the gospel and not just the milk of the gospel, now we are spiritually nourished and we're ready to go out. And we're ready to take on things that are not just all easy and immediate. We're ready to take on some things that are a little more difficult. Things that are beyond us. Things that are not close at hand. It's true, you can go through life and you can pick all of the low-hanging fruit. But some of the best fruit, you got to get a ladder out and you got to climb a tree. And that's all about maturity. And if you want to bear more fruit, the Holy Spirit will help you do that. And what's amazing is not everyone will respond to the invitation that Jesus Christ has extended to them to sit down at the banquet. Be mature. Be truly sent out. And because we won't respond to the invitation or we won't go, we will not taste of the great things that God has in store for us. We will miss the opportunity. We don't want to miss the opportunity, do we? And so we go to God for transformation, healing. He puts us on a spiritual path in our life. We experience transformation. The old goes away. The new has become. And as we go in that strength and we team up with someone else who is also maturing in the faith, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what God does in your going. In the direction of our going, our commission as we go is really, really very simple. It's all about the good news in Jesus Christ. It's all about finding salvation in Jesus Christ. It's all about finding healing in Christ. It's all about spending eternity with Christ. Anyone who asks the Lord for help will be saved. But before people can trust in the Lord, they must believe in Him. And before they can believe in Him, they must hear about Him. And to hear about Him, someone must go and tell them. And before someone can go and tell them, they must be sent. It is written, how beautiful is the person who comes to bring the good news. How beautiful. Nothing is more beautiful than the good news in Jesus Christ. It's an invitation not only for us, but it is an invitation that Christ is sending out to everyone, everywhere. Luke 9, Jesus said, your job is to go and tell others about God's kingdom. We go and tell others. We use words and we use actions. We pray, we listen. And it raises a great question. What will your spiritual legacy be as you leave this world? I remember listening to Tony Campolo decades ago. He said that when you get to heaven and God greets you at the gate, he said there's two things that you're going to want to have with you. He said one thing you're going to want to have with you is a couple of compassion kids. That was one of Tony's great endeavors in life. And he said when you get there, have them and kind of push them up front. It's a good step forward. He said, and then Jesus is going to bring about you all the people that you influenced for eternity. See, there's only two things we're taking with us when we get to heaven. We're going to take our mature Christian character and all those that we influenced into eternity. And see, when we get to that moment, it's the reason why it's an everlasting party. And God has invited you, but he's invited everyone. In fact, he uses you to go out to every street and go out to every byway and highway. He calls you to go as close as across the street and as far as the other side of the world. And he calls us to simply go to other people and share with them the news that matters most. The news that matters most is not what you find on the news feed. It's not what you see on a bumper sticker on someone's car today. The greatest and most important word is that Jesus has come and he is our Savior. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And those that don't, they will go to hell and not heaven. See, eternity is in the balance of every relationship we have. And I'd encourage you, keep coming to Jesus. I find I have to just keep coming to him. Why? There's a lot more going on. And it's challenging and difficult, discouraging, frustrating, stressful, depressing. So I keep coming to Jesus so that he can lift me up and send me out. Remind me that it's only going to be an upgrade for this long. I will give you rest when you need it. But there is work to be done. And the work to be done is sharing the good news. And that news is literally news of life or death. There's a deep challenge out there. And so we need a deep faith. And in our deep faith, I know Jesus gives us a very deep and challenging call. Go and tell him. Everyone, everywhere. Let's pray. Jesus, as we think about this eternal subject, different pictures of people's faces come into our mind. Those that we have been praying for, Lord, some we've been praying for a long time. Lord, for others, it's just pictures of people that we don't know where they are spiritually. We see them, we socialize with them. And in the lockdown, it's not as easy to invite somebody to church as it used to be. Yet you're calling us to engage through the through the leading of your Holy Spirit, engage in a conversation with a person, that person whose picture is in our mind. And it's true, we might have to do a lot of action before they're ready to hear these words. So give us the sensitivity of your Holy Spirit to know when to act and when to speak. Lord, we're thankful that you give us such a high privilege, that you entrust us with the gospel, that you would call us in all of our lacking and shortcoming to such a great and holy endeavor. Jesus, we're thankful that you came so that we might have life and have it to the full and have it for all eternity. And so we pray in your name. Amen.
that to be our prayer this morning. We want to build our lives upon your love and make you our hope, make you our home, make you our foundation. So, Jesus, we just thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you for being present with us. We love you, Lord, and we bless your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Thank you guys for being with us again. May the Lord bless you this week as you walk out your deep faith. We'll see you next Sunday.